5:4. If you take notes, I've entitled the message Born for Victory. I don't know, several years ago I preached on this verse, and it's a verse that especially now that's needed more than ever. 1 John 5:4, born for victory. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds to this text. Spirit of God, we thank you for being here this morning, and we pray you'd walk amongst us, speak to every heart here. And pray, Lord, that if there's one here who knows not Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And also pray, Lord, that you would speak to us individually and bring comfort where comfort is needed, perhaps conviction where conviction is needed. Edification, Lord, help us to leave this, take this message with us and learn something from it that we can put in our life or share with another. We know it's your will, so we ask it with great confidence, and we ask it in the name of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thought it was appropriate during this time of anxiety or world anxiety about this coronavirus thing to remind you again that every genuine believer is born for victory. Now, there's some worldly sayings, you know, born to die, born to raise heck, born to do many things. But if you're a Christian, you are reborn to victory. You're not a loser. You can't lose as a born-again Christian. And you're going to never have a better time in your life than present to let the light of your faith shine in the lives of so many of our unsaved loved ones that we just prayed for. Not only them, but shine in the rest of the world that the world may see. Now, when I say the world, what I mean is your world and your world and your world, the worlds we live in, the worlds we navigate through every day in our lives. They'll see your faith. They'll see that you don't have that fear. They'll see that your light does shine bright. Yes, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Yes, stay 6 feet apart. Do all the things you're supposed to do, but shine your light. And the way you shine your light is you don't show fear, because fear for a Christian is really unbelief. You're saying, nobody's in charge of me but me. And that's not true. I would also remind you of the command and the promises that are in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That belongs to you, Angela, Mario. That's a promise. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And he never leaves you. There's another passage that talks about that, isn't it? You have a friend who will never leave you or forsake you. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55, that even death itself is swallowed up in victory to those who are in Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There is no victory or sting to the born-again Christian, only victory. You need to hold on to these promises. The next time the flesh or the will or the world tries to bind you to fear, you need to understand who you are in Christ. And you have to understand that if he's here with you and you're bound to him, he wouldn't fear anything, and neither should you. You do what you're supposed to do, yes. But you never fear. Now that brings me to our text. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now the first thing I'd have you notice about this text is that it wasn't written for unbelievers. It was written for believers. And like most of the world, God makes a distinction between those that are saved and those that are lost. And in the first section of our text, we see that distinction. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. He's making the distinction. He's talking about people who have faith. The verse implies, and it also implies, that not everyone is born of God. And that's true. He's their creator, but he's not their father. That being said, if I'm speaking to someone this morning who has not been born again, I suggest that you listen to this message anyway, because perhaps you're tired of living a life that has so few victories in it. Most unsafe people go from problem to problem, very few victories in their life that they can claim. But for those of you who are God's people, I would remind you that the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ had only one purpose, to give his people victory, to remove the bonds that bound the bondage that they were in. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, the apostle declares our victory over sin and from death. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. And John 3, 16 is talking about the victory of salvation and eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These are life verses. They're not death verses. They're victorious verses. They're not verses that talk about gloom and doom. They're not Debbie Downers. And our text is another one that confirms that we have victory over the world. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And you can't claim to have faith if you're frightened, if you're afraid. It means you're unbelieving. You're not trusting. And you can see that in everybody that's not born again. And if you're behaving like that, you're really behaving like an unbeliever to have that fear. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned. I'm not saying you shouldn't take precautions. I'm simply saying that God has a plan for your life. And that plan is never going to change. And so you trust in him, you trust in that plan, and he'll take care of you. I dare say the Bible is absolutely filled with verses that testify that God has made his people victorious over everything in this world. Everything. Psalm 44:5. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks to be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. It's all victorious stuff, man. No losers. You're born again. You can't lose. That being said, the question I want to ask everyone this morning listening is this. Why are there so many Bible-believing victims in the modern church? And there are a lot of them. I'm referring to believers who seem to constantly struggle with their life. They struggle with their faith and their flesh and their relationship with God. They struggle. People who never seem to have victory over any part of their life. What's up with that? If the Bible has so many verses talking about how we should be a victorious people, why are there so many victims in the believing victims in the church today? If we have the power and victory in Christ, why is it that so many believers live like spiritual victims? Some of us, I've met many of them. How you doing? Well, it's tough. I'll make it. I know. I got faith. I'll get through this. Hanging in there, that's another good one. They're spiritual victims. They're believers. They're claiming to be believers, but yet they're spiritual victims, and that's exactly how an unsaved person behaves. And the reason, in most cases, a believer is victimized. They're victimized by having a lukewarm faith. You are not enjoy. You can't have a strong faith. If it's lukewarm, you're not going to believe. You're going to be an unbeliever. In the sense being that you might be saved, but you don't have the power to overcome anything that you're having to face. It's sort of like my car sometimes when the battery gets low. I need to get a jump. And the way you get a jump in the spiritual realm is you get into your Bible. You hook up with the pastor and you do a little Bible study. You get these verses. You start eating them, meditating on them. And they start building your spiritual faith and your joy. Then you can do it. But the church is filled today with believers that are victimized because of lukewarm faith. And also, if you have lukewarm faith, the sister that's always that always hangs out with faith is joy. If you have a little, if you're leaking joy, you have lukewarm faith, or vice versa. Or there's no spiritual growth. You can't be a babe in Christ forever. You need to grow out of that. And the way you grow out of that is you live your faith, and you attend Bible studies. You learn. And if you're not growing spiritually, you don't have a testimony. One of the greatest things, we were talking this morning at Bible study, and I said, what's one of the greatest things we see about our faith? And they said, well, you believe, you do this, and there's several things. I said, you see it. You see your faith every single time God works in your life. When you have to face something that's difficult or almost impossible or even impossible, when you face that, and you do it with faith, it doesn't matter what happens. It just matters that you face it. And you face it with God with you. Because whatever happens was part of the plan to begin with. Yes, there might be a little blood spilt. There might be a little financial problem. There might be a little grieving going on when it's done. But it's all part of the plan. And you're to confront it. I would remind you that all the spiritual armor that's in the book of Galatians is for a frontal attack. There's nothing covering your backside. Because you're not supposed to be in retreat mode. You're supposed to be in forward mode, pressing toward the mark. And it doesn't matter if it's the coronavirus. It doesn't matter if it's an angry landlord. It doesn't matter if it's a chronic disease. It doesn't matter what it is. As a believer, you need to understand that you are to press forward toward that mark. And you're to do it victoriously. Because your Savior, who led the way and is your exemplar, he was victorious in everything he did. Everything. Yes, he was God. But he's divine and you're the branch. And you're getting your power from him. And if you're getting your power from him, then you can walk through anything. But you have to have the faith. There's also another reason why believers become spiritual victims. Their Bible study, heartfelt prayer, and church fellowship is lacking. I mean, if you don't have a good prayer life, if you don't have a time when you study your Bible outside of coming to church, how are you being fed? And I've told this to people, try eating food or not eating food as often as you eat God's word. And I'm talking about you go through the day and you say, oh, I can do all things through Christ. Boom, you're eating. Or even now, my neighbor's got this corona thing and I don't want to, I'm not saying my neighbor, I'm saying generally speaking, for fear, somebody has corona and they live next to me and I don't want them to get it. Oh, what am I going to do? I can do all things through Christ. That's food, eat it. Anytime you take God's word and you hide it in your heart or you read it or you memorize it or you live it, anything you do, you're eating spiritually. Now try not doing that. And what happens? You're going to become anemic. Try not eating food, regular food. Try that for a while. See what happens. Any one of these deficiencies will cause a child of God to suffer from spiritual depression, spiritual discouragement, spiritual distress, and spiritual doubt. Lack of Bible study, heartfelt prayer, or church fellowship. Any of that is lacking, you will become one of those D words. You'll have depression, discouragement, distress, or doubt. But by far, the biggest factor that causes a believer to go from a victor to a victim is the way they live their life. Every believer knows they are both a spiritual creature and you are a physical creature. And they realize, you should realize if you don't, that you coexist in two worlds at the same time. The physical realm, which is right here, and the spiritual realm, which is right here. The problem is the saint, the believer, who is a spiritual victim, chooses to let the worldly things swallow up more of their time than they do the spiritual thing. They spend more time doing worldly things instead of spiritual things. And the thing about that is it's a conscious decision that each and every one of these people make to put everything in their life before God. That's what they do. And God then becomes a sideshow in their life rather than a main event. And you're not going to have any faith if you do that. You're not going to have a victorious life. I have to tell you something. I have a very, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say, and as a pastor, I do a lot of counseling. I would say that I have a very difficult life that most people would find very difficult. But I don't. If I have to deal with sleep deprivation, if I have to deal with physical pain, if I have to deal with emotional pain, if I have to deal with bereavement, if I have to, no matter what I have to deal with, I have strength to do it, and it doesn't bother me. People say to me, and I meant to say this several times, and I didn't. I just thought of it. People say to me, "Well, I didn't call you, Pastor, because I know you got a lot of things on your plate and you're really busy." That's poppycock. I'm never too busy to talk or help anybody, ever too busy for that. I sleep so little, it's okay. I'm used to that. I really am. I'm used to it now. And I have time for anybody, no matter where they are. I can talk to anybody. So for those of you listening that think, "Well, I wanted to call you, but you know, I didn't want to bother you," it's on you. I'm available. I got a full tank of gas, new tires. I can go anywhere, and I got a big computer that I can reach out, and I can even Zoom you now because I'm a, what do you call those guys, Arthur? I'm a, what do you call those guys? No, what do you call the guys that has the meetings, the leader there? Well, anyway. I can call a meeting together. So if you want to talk to me, we can talk either on the phone, on a computer. We can go. I can meet you in the car. And by the way, to make sure that everybody understands how I do that, it's what I call policeman's breakfast, because I have a food ministry too, because I think food helps people talk. So what we do is we go to Dunkin' Donuts, we get a sandwich and a coffee. And then we go to a parking lot like BJ's, and I park one way, you park the other way. And so the two driver's side windows are facing each other, and we have a policeman's breakfast. And we do. And then no germs get spread, and we have a great talk, and I'm able to listen and help you in any way I can. And at the same time, we break a little bread together, which I always like to do. Okay, we can't make God a sideshow. And if you do that, then that means there's no time in your life for spiritual things that feed you, that encourage you, that help you to grow, and things that strengthen you. If you don't make time for God and the things of God, you're going to become a weak Christian. And I want to tell you something. That doesn't mean you're not saved. There are many believers who go through this life as spiritual, I call them spiritual paupers. They have everything in this book belongs to them. All the promises in this book belong to every single believer. But some believers never take the time to go into the book and say, "Wow, oh, I think I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this. I want to remember that. I want to have the words, Lord. Would you give me the words next time I need to speak to somebody?" All of those things help you grow. And the more time you spend with God and in God's word and with God's people, the more victorious you're going to be in this life. And I got to tell you, there are many, many believers right now, maybe some of me even listening to this outside of this church, that are really, they're going to be in heaven, but they are living a pauper's life. They are not getting out of this experience what they could get. And even worse than being a spiritual victim, you lose the power. I got to tell you something. You know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. But when you have divine power, there's no corruption in divine power, because you have to yield to the word, and all of it works for God's glory and other people's benefit and your benefit as well. When we pray for ourselves or other people, yeah, we're interceding for them as priests, right? But we're also helping ourselves, because we're trusting in God. We're leaving this, we're spiritually leaving this church and going into the throne room of God so that we can lay our requests at his feet. And during that, there's power that you get from that, because when you're done with the prayer, you should feel great. You should feel like, yes, I spoke to God. I mean, I've had people ask me that. What do you talk to God? Absolutely, I talk to him. Often I talk to him. And you should too. We must never forget. You must never, ever forget that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered at the hands of man. He was tempted by the devil. He suffered the full wrath of God and his Father's justice. He did all of that. Why? So that you and I would have a victorious Christian life. So that we would walk forward no matter what it was and say, I don't care what's going on. What was this Psalm 91 says? 10,000 may fall at your right, but nothing will touch you. That's not a metaphor. There's not one person here that knows Christ as their Savior that hasn't been in spiritual warfare or had to face difficult trials and tribulations and came out of it feeling even better because they went through it with their faith and they got the victory for it. You see, the trials and tribulations are put there by God. They're not put there by luck, chance, or coincidence. About 5 months ago, I lost my sense of taste. And it's like eating food is like just eating cardboard all the time with a little salt. I can taste the salt or vinegar. I can taste that, right? It's okay. I talked to the doctor, went through all of this stuff. There's nothing they can do. So it's okay. Or I could sit there and say, oh, man, I can't taste that steak anymore. Or my salad is really, oh, that. Yeah, there's no victory in that. Good, I can't taste. So instead, I decided to lose some weight, and I lost like 35 pounds. So, all right, it's a good trade-off. See, every single thing you do is part of a plan that God has put in your life. And if you understand that and you live your life and you understand that that's God took away my taste for a reason. And I don't know why. I'm never going to ask him why. I don't care why. It's part of the plan. I have a wife that's chronically ill that I love very much. And she's been my best friend for 40 years. And now she's a child. I don't argue with God anymore about that. I accept that. She accepts that. And that's how we get the victory. The victory isn't about, you know, beating something up. It's about overcoming something, not by yourself, but by with God, with the power that he's given you to do it. Listen, your religion and everything you do in this life is a question of attitude. And it's how you go through this life, the attitude that you use as you go through this life, that either makes you a victim or a victor. And your attitude should be biblical. And if you have a biblical attitude in life, you will be a victor and nobody can beat you up. Nobody. And I don't care if they kill you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Our text is just one of many proof verses. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, beloved, our faith in Jesus Christ gives us the victory over the world. Now, what does that mean? I ask myself that. You are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's what it means. It means that the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's greater than anything in this world. And if he's leading you and you're walking in the Spirit, then you'll overcome everything. It means if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. That means you have all the power you need to live a victorious life. You have everything you need. And that means you and I should have no fear of this coronavirus or anything else in this world. I don't care what it is. Make no mistake about it. Believers have everything they need to get the victory in this world. The coronavirus is just another thing passing through the world. That's all that it is. And when the coronavirus goes, you're going to have political unrest. You might even have some health problems, or you're going to have car problems. You're going to get old. You're going to have a lot of problems, and you're going to have to decide how you're going to face them. Are you going to face them like with God, or are you going to say to yourself, woe is me? You got to make the decision. You have everything you need to win any victory in this world. I want you to take that thought home. I don't care what it is. You have all the power you need to be victorious in this life. And I don't care what you do. I don't care what the problem is. You can be victorious. You should also note that the world John is speaking of in our text is not referring to just the physical world. He's talking about the spirit of the world. How do we know that's true? Well, Paul sums up what the spirit of the world is in Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. He writes, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he told the Ephesians, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom, and here he goes, he includes himself, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. We all were there. And at that point, we were all losers, because everything we did, we couldn't win. You couldn't win. You might win a game. You might win a lotto. You might not get sick. You might think you're winning everything, but you're ultimately a loser, because you're going to be separated from God for all eternity, and everything in this life is meaningless because of that. There's no benefit to having power or money or cars or whatever it is, good health. The benefit is knowing that cross. The benefit is knowing what that cross did, and the power that emanates from that cross into every life that accepts that cross, what that cross did for them. If you accept what that cross did for you, then you have all the power to be victorious in anything you do. And it doesn't matter what it is, beloved. It really doesn't matter what it is. Every day, the elect go into the world and deal with a variety of different challenges. You guys are going to leave here. You're going to go home. You're going to do your thing. You're going to get up. And you're going to go into the world one way or another. We may have to deal with the God of this world, that's Satan, or his human or spiritual minions, which are people that are not saved and spiritual entities. But in any case, I don't care who you're dealing with, man, beast, devil, whoever, you have the power to be victorious over them all. You can beat anybody and anything with the power that comes from Jesus Christ. If the roaring lion comes prowling around seeking whom he may destroy, James 4:7 says very simply, he tells us how to get the victory. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. That's simple. If the devils or demons or human minions try to steal your joy, or a plague like we have now threatens your life, Jesus promises he will give us the victory. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. You know why he could say that? Because it doesn't matter what happens to your body. Your soul and your spirit are eternal, and you'll be with him. The glitter of the world tempts people all the time. If it tempts your flesh, knowing where your heart belongs, that gives you the victory. Just knowing where your heart belongs, it's that attitude. Matthew 6:19-21 says that. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, what? There your heart will also be. You have to have a heart for Christ. You have to have a heart for the Bible. You have to have a heart to live a biblical life. And if you do, you'll always be victorious. But what about suffering? We all suffer. Philippians 1:29 tells us, you get the victory in suffering because you know that it's an honor to suffer for Christ. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. You know what? Every single time somebody outside of Christ gets sick or they get hurt or they get in an accident, it's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. You know why? It serves no purpose. None. Torment. That's all it is. Just as this is a dress rehearsal for us to be in heaven, for those who die outside of Christ, this is a dress rehearsal for hell. Because there's no benefit in it. If you or I get hurt or we suffer something, we can say it's part of our refining process. We can say that all things work together for good. There's no tragedy for a Christian because everything will work for your good. And everything that's brought into your life was brought to you by God. But for an unbeliever, that's not true. And you have and that's the power of getting through things victoriously, is understanding that simple principle. That it's where your heart is. Trials or tribulations are plaguing you, the victory's in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, beloved, it doesn't matter what element of this world or our personal life that you have to deal with. It doesn't matter. We have all the power and we have all the backup. We need to live a victorious Christian life. There's no excuse for it. There was a guy, his name was, I used him in a bulletin this morning. His name is Watchman Nee. And somebody says to me, boy, that's a strange name. And he was, he's passed, he was an evangelical Christian in China. He was born in 1903, and I think he died in the 70s. But you can read some of the stuff this guy writes, and you can see that he was persecuted. You couldn't be a Christian without being persecuted in China. He had the right attitude. He had the power. I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to evangelize. And he did, and he wrote some neat stuff. He's encouraged you because I've used him many times because he had the victories, even in a communist country like that. We have all the backup and the power. Romans 8:37, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. It means we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hebrews 13:5, it means we have a God that will never leave us or forsake us. I'm giving you all these verses so that you can understand that those are the things that make you victorious in life. If you just go out, you just walk out your door and you say, okay, I'm going to go through life today. I'll handle whatever happens. No, you won't handle anything. God will handle it for you. And then I want to also tell you about Romans 8:31, 32. If God is for us, who is against you? Right now, think about that. If God is for you, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You have everything you need to get through this life. These verses plus so many more, the Bible's filled with them, are proof you should be living a victorious Christian life. No genuine believer should ever live like a Christian victim. You shouldn't do it. And if you are doing it, don't. You call me, and I'll help you with that. But I'm not saying that we won't have a season when life gets difficult to deal with. But again, the promise is Isaiah 43, 1 and 3. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. How about that? You belong to God, and he belongs to you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They wouldn't worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. They said, live long, O king, but we're not going to do it. That's victory. He said, oh yeah, well, I'm going to throw you in the fire and see if you'll do it. Okay, that's going to be your penalty. Well, he found out that they got the victory. They had the victory before they went in the furnace just by saying that. So if you know Christ as your Savior, but you're living a spiritual victim's life, you need to remember Psalm 34:10. Write it down, Psalm 34:10. Those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. That's a good one to take home. You need to dare to believe Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you need to think about the sacrifice. This is important. The sacrifice that was given for you so you could walk victorious in this world. Isaiah 53:5. Speaking of Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. He went to the cross. He died. He resurrected. He felt his father's wrath and all the things that happened to him just so you would have the power to walk through this world victorious. Think about that. And if you are a victorious believer, if I'm speaking to somebody that is living the Christian life victoriously, then what you need to do is find a believer who's not living it as good as you are and help them. That's what you need to do. Help them to walk in victory through this plague-filled world. There's a lot of Christians that could use help from people who are victorious. Now, for the loss, again, you can't claim a victory in this life. You might win a few bucks, or you might win a bet, or you might not get sick, you might have a good job, all that stuff. That's not victory. You know why? Because one day they're going to all come to an end. Your life is actually a tragedy. And the reason is you have no hope. You're going to die twice. You're going to die once here, and then you're going to, at judgment, you're going to be separated from God. You're going to die twice. And on top of everything else, you have no power. All you have is chains. And your father is the devil. You can look that up in John 8:44. Your father is the devil. And what ends up happening is that you'll end up where your father is. But if that scares you or that frightens you, or you feel God even calling you or stirring your heart, you call me, and I'll show you in his word how he wants to give you the power to help you live a victorious Christian life with Christ. And you'll be with his father in a far different place. The Bible makes it clear. We should walk in victory because the captain of our salvation walked in victory. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked, which means the elect need not fear man or demon, that you don't need to fear the coronavirus or anything else, because it's written, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, Paul says, and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd like all of you listening to take this message home and glorify God by walking in victory and claiming it every day, claiming victory for his glory and your good. Let's pray. Father, it's so difficult sometimes to claim the victories, because sometimes we let ourselves become so weak and anemic in faith. God, would you strengthen our faith? We know we just get a measure of it. Take whatever measure you've given us and strengthen it. And while you're strengthening our faith, Father, give us the wisdom to open up your word and to just feed on it more often. Give us the strength to face any situation in this life, from sickness to accidents to bereavement, whatever it is, give us the strength we need that we might get the victory over all of it. And Lord, help us when we do get the victory to just take a moment and stop And thank you for empowering us to get that victory, because we can't do it on our own. And we belong to you and you belong to us. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. So Lord, we ask you with great faith and authority in your word to help us gain the victory in this life. And Lord, even if we start this very moment, help us all to leave this place with the idea that we're going to have more victories in our life tomorrow than we had the day before. And every day have more victories than we did before. Every day. Help us to do that for your glory and our good. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Closing hymn is 370. Very appropriate.